The song we sang for the offering was, "I have decided to follow Jesus." That song came from the middle of the 19th century. The song is based on a man named Nok Singh in the Meghalaya in Assam in India. He and his family became Christians. They were called to renounce their faith. Nok Singh said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." His two children were threatened to be killed, and he still held to his faith. Arrows were shot and killed the two children. His wife then was threatened, and he said, "Though none go with me, I still will follow." As his wife was shot with an arrow and killed, and as he was executed, he sang, "The cross before me." The world behind me. So we have to face the reality that Christians are killed for their faith. Worldwide, 1 in 12 Christians experience high to extreme persecution. Around 215 million Christians face high persecution. It's estimated that roughly 100,000 Christians are killed for their faith each year. Two-thirds, two-thirds of the estimated 2.3 billion Christians live in a dangerous place. In Nigeria, 6,000 Christians were killed, mostly women and children, by radicals. I thought I could do that without this. Why am I sharing all this disturbing news? Yeah, why? But we're sheltered in America. We're sheltered from the realities of this world. We are not facing death or persecution like these individuals. Jesus forewarned us, however, that we would be persecuted. Why? Why is it that way? I want us to go to John chapter 15, 1643 in your pew Bibles. 1643, John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. Jesus speaking. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." You see, in this world, it's run by Satan. And we're just laying it out there that Satan has control over the individuals in this world. Individuals, governments, you name it. He's in control of these individuals. And yet, in chapter 16 of John, I have it up on the screen. You don't have to look at it if you don't like to. I mean, you could turn to it if you'd like. Chapter 16, verse 33 says, "I have told you these things so that in you, or in me, you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You know, we're not sheltered, even though in America we seem to be sheltered from extreme persecution, but maybe not for long. But we're sheltered in to some respect, but there is persecution out there. There's things going on that we just have no idea. There is women and children being butchered because of their faith. And so when Jesus says, I've told you these things, I'm telling you ahead of time, but you're going to have peace. Because even though you have trouble in the world, even though you have persecution, even though the world hates you, I've overcome the world. And so we can take heart and we can be confident and secure. Well, our life is filled with difficulties, physical and spiritual. Satan's disciples are alive and well. Satan himself hates us. But the Bible and God tells us this. In Jeremiah, I have it up on the screen again for you. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You know, we read that and we kind of look at this and think, yeah, well, what about those people who are being persecuted? Are they saying the same thing? Yeah, they are. I want you to look in this scripture. It's a little different. Prosper, the word used for prosper is shalom. That's the literal meaning of that. It can mean a lot of things. Hello and, you know, peace be with you and that kind of thing. But shalom basically is peace. So basically, Jesus is saying, I know the plans I have for you, plans to for peace and not to harm you. Now, harm, the literal word for harm is actually evil. I have plans for peace and not to bring evil on you. And we know that's impossible for God because God cannot give us evil. He can't put evil on us. He's pure. God is not able to do evil. And so we know that God's plans for us are that way. But in the previous verse, verse 10, it tells the Israelites, you're going to be in Babylonia for 70 years. 70 years. At the end of the 70 years, then you can come home. For I have plans for you to give you peace and not evil. Here the people were whisked away into captivity in Babylon, and here they are, stuck there for 70 years. Yet God says, I have plans for you to prosper, have peace, and not to bring evil on you. Why in the world was that the case? Well, first of all, the Israelites misbehaved. They began to serve idols instead of God. And part of the discipline from God was Babylon. They came and took them into captivity. Well, wait a minute, though. Weren't there some Israelites that were, righteous? Weren't there some good people there? Well, yeah, because Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know those people they're written about. You know, they were obedient to the Lord, and yet Israel generally was not. And so they suffered the consequences, all of them. The consequences were captivity for 70 years. And yet, God, in His plan, wanted them to come back and prosper. Does this mean that we won't go through hardship? No. We're obviously going to go through hardship. We are obviously have. Now, in some cases, it is to bring us back to worship God. Sometimes we do go through hardship that disciplines us. None of us know which that is. You know, when something falls on me and you know, an ailment or whatever, is that God's discipline or is it, you know, just because we live in a world that our bodies are susceptible to that? And we have to determine that. We have to decide which is it. But how are we to go through these trials, no matter what they are, victoriously? I want you to go to another scripture. Scripture's way back in James, and that's 1839 in your pew Bible, James chapter 1. You see, James also knowing that we are going to go through trials and tribulations, and he writes this in chapter 1, starting in verse 2. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." You know, you say that kind of lightheartedly, but let me just put it down a little bit more realistically. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." You see, we're not supposed to go through our trials with our heads hung low, walking around kicking the dirt, almost mumbling things about God, you know, "Oh, man." Consider it all joy, no matter what trials you're going through. Consider it joy. That's walking around with your head high. Be a light. The Israelites, they went through captivity in Babylon, and then they were free. We too are captives here in this world. But we're going to receive a freedom, if you will. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians 17:98 in your pew Bibles. 17:98 in the pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians. I just have to get there. There we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1798 in your pew Bibles. Starting verse 1, chapter 5, it says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that the day should surprise you like a thief. You are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night nor to the darkness." I want to skip on a little bit farther here. Verse 8. "Since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, when Jesus died on the cross and saved us from our sin, we now are saved from His wrath. Okay, and when is His wrath coming? The tribulation. It's coming at the tribulation. That's what Revelation tells us. It says that it's the wrath of the Lamb and of God when the tribulation comes. And we're here not to suffer wrath. Trials, yeah, we go through trials. We go through things that build us up. We go through things that are going to challenge us. We're going through things to purify us. We have all these things that are going on, and the Scripture tells us all about it, and it's creating in us to become like the character of Jesus Christ. We're to become like Him. That's our goal. That's the thing that God intends for us to be. And through this life, He's building in that. He's working that through us. But we will not suffer the wrath of God, because that's intended for those who are unbelievers, who are disobedient, who basically thumb their nose at God. That's what the wrath is for. Not for us. Now look at chapter 4 just above in verses 13 through 18. It says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. It's encouraging because we struggle through this life, a world that hates us, and we struggle to be the light, to share the gospel with those, because we don't want to go alone. And we don't want to see people who are struggling and going through the difficulties of this world and have no hope. We want to give them hope. And so that's what we're here for. You ever wonder what your purpose in life is? That's it. We're created in God's image. We're created in His image to glorify Him. We're created in His image to share the gospel with others. We're created in His image to be in heaven with Him. Well, why don't we go through all the trials and tribulations? Why didn't God just do it all at once? Because He wants people who cares about Him. You know, it'd be really great, you know, go to some area somewhere, you know, you're looking for a wife, and you say, you're going to be my wife. Kind of what I did with that. No, I'm just kidding. You know, you go up to some lady, and you just say, you're going to be my wife. And she looks at you and goes, really? In your dreams? You know, are you kidding me? You know, you can't make them love you. But as you get to know each other, as you see each other, as you go to different things, as you date, as you do whatever you do, all the different things, it builds a relationship, a friendship. You know, you want to marry your best friend, don't you? You want to marry somebody who loves you and cares about you and wants to be with you. And that's exactly the illustration of Jesus and God. God wants people to be in heaven who want to be there. Who love Him and care about and thank God for what He's done. You know, but if God's not just going to reach out and grab everybody and bring them up to heaven and somebody's walking around and going, the streets are gone. I don't want this. He wants people to want to be there. And so we find that when we turn our lives over to Christ, He gives us freedom. He gives us strength. He gives us His Spirit. And then He's going to reward us by not allowing us to go through the wrath He has prepared for the world in those last days. You know, it's great as a Christian to think about that. I thought about that the other day. I went and walked out, took the dog outside, you know, do her thing. And I'm looking around and looking up at the sky and just thinking, what's it going to be like just all of a sudden you disappear, caught up with Him? What's that going to be like? You know, and then to be able to walk in heaven, not even worried about death anymore, or having to go to the doctor anymore. I got my share of appointments coming up. You know, not to worry about any of those things anymore. And just see perfect peace. Trials come from the world, God's enemy. Be careful not to blame God for bad circumstances. It's not His deal. He's giving us the strength and the encouragement to get through this life. His Spirit. And He will rescue us to be with Him forevermore. As a result of Milkstein's witness, I have decided to follow Jesus. When He was put to death, the tribal chief was troubled. How could this guy die believing in this God. The tribal chief came to Christ as a result, and the whole tribe, because of his coming to Christ, the whole tribe came to Christ as well. We don't know what all is going to happen, but I want to tell you one thing. We want to be the light to this world, no matter what happens. And I just want to take time to give you that opportunity. So I want you just to bow your heads, and if you've been struggling with this, if you want to be part of the rapture, if you don't want to struggle through life without hope, if you want hope, today's the day. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that you would touch those that are wondering, curious, those maybe who have struggled, don't know which way to go. Today, they've come here not by accident. You brought them here. You guided them, nudged them. And so now they're here. And they have a decision to make. Lord, I pray that they would pray with me just now, silently in their own heart, just pray. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of fighting you. And I want to be part of that rapture. I want to live with hope. I want to have a new life. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a new creature. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, we pray now that you would let us sing this last song with new hearts, with new vigor, with an excitement. How great thou art. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we...